So this is Fiona Liddell from the Friends of Cardiff Reservoirs, a volunteer talking to Michael Board. Michael, welcome back.
Yes, no, thank you for having me.
It's a long while since you've been here.
Yes, yeah, I think we were saying upstairs probably about 18 years, maybe a little bit longer, the last time I came here to the Lynchen Reservoir and peered over the boundary there and had a look at the reservoir itself, which was a lot emptier at the time.
Was it?
It was, I think, during the summer. So it would have been probably a couple of feet lower than it is today with all the rain we've been having over the last couple of months in the winter period.
Yeah. So tell me what you're doing now, because you're living far away and you're travelling all over the place, as I understand it. So tell us a bit about what you're doing now.
So I live up in the Midlands with my family, with my wife and two kids up there. But I'm originally from Cardiff and grew up here, sailing away and running Lynchen Reservoir. But my job currently, that I work as chief officer on a private and commercial super yacht. So the boat I work on now, predominantly based in the Mediterranean during the summer season. And then in the winters, we usually go away to the Caribbean or the Maldives or somewhere far off and exotic. The boat I currently work on is hopefully doing a round the world tour soon. Should be leaving in the next couple of weeks to go over to America, stopping off in the Caribbean and Panama, where I'll rejoin the boat, and then we'll go up the west coast of the US up to Alaska for the summer, and then head down across the Pacific over the next year. So it's looking like a very exciting couple of years ahead for myself and the crew on board.
Amazing. And what's your role on the boat?
So I work as the chief officer, so am I primarily dealing with the safety, the day-to-day running of the boats, doing all the navigation, delegating the jobs to the deck crew, doing safety training with crew. So that'll be stuff to do with, you know, firefighting, first aid, collision drills, crack grounding drills, a whole array of different problems that we could encumber on a boat in the middle of the ocean. The biggest ones being sort of, you know, fire. An abandoned ship was a training for all these things for the crew. It's something that we do on board the boat. Then we also do refresher courses ashore in different facilities around the UK or different parts of the world, which is always exciting as well.
Gosh, and you had to pass qualifications to do the role that you have now. So how far have you taken your training, and what are your aspirations in terms of your career?
So my my aspiration at the moment is to get my first captain's position. I'm looking hopefully in the next 18 months to make that a reality. I've just recently completed my Master 3000 yacht ticket. So that's taken me around 12 years to complete. You start off, coming into these super yachts as a young guy in your early 20s, full of beans and enthusiasm for the job, and you end up just doing grunt jobs, you know, working on the deck, scrubbing the teak, washing the boats. But then on the times you're on trip, you've got guests on board and you're doing water sports, you're doing, you know, dinghy sailing, jet skis, the latest gadgets, you know, e-foils and sea bobs, and going off and doing all the snorkeling and fishing, spear fishing and diving with guests. But the main crux of it when you're not with guests on is sort of the day-to-day, as a not drool part of the job, but polishing all the stainless, scrubbing the decks, washing the boat is sort of the main bread and butter of a deckhand. And it's sort of, you know, started off doing that as a deckhand, and then I've slowly over the years worked my way up through the career ladder and now gained a job on this 88-metre super yacht as chief officer, and hopefully one day get the captain's drive as well, which is the end goal for all super yacht crew.
Amazing, and it's quite a long journey, a long haul by the sound of it, to get to that point.
It is, yeah. You can do it over, it sort of takes about 10 to 12 years, I'd say, to go from like a deckhand up through to captain's ticket. And you need to gain sea time, so you have to have time on board the boat to accumulate, and then that goes towards your training, and you do a training record book, which basically has a whole bunch of jobs that you've got to tick through, get signed off by a senior officer to say that you've done these items on board the boat, through to all the different courses you've got to do, as a deckhand, you know, your main bread and butter would be getting your yacht master, and then you'd work to your OOW, your officer of the watch, which would be your first sort of navigational ticket, which would then be followed by your chief mate's ticket, which is your sort of like more senior role on board, followed by getting your master 3000, which is your final sort of ticket that you can get now in the yachting industry, which is the bread and butter, and that's the gold standard of the yachting industry there.
Well, well done, having come so far.
Thank you.
So tell, let's go back to the beginning. Where did your passion for sailing begin, and how?
So my father's always sailed, and growing up as a little kid, he used to keep his dinghy. He had a Wayfarer down in Penarth, in the Penarth Yacht Club there. And I remember on the weekends as a little kid, we'd go down, he'd have finished sailing for the day, and then we'd spend the afternoon in the local yacht club there, having some drinks, food, and watch the sun go down over the Severn Estuary there, which is always very nice. And we used to spend our days there. And then when I turned 10 and I was able to start dinghy sailing myself, I started dinghy sailing with a friend of mine, James Munn, who joined me on our first sort of weekend sailing here for 2 days at the Nisham Reservoir, where we had a lovely day on the Saturday with some wind and some sun, followed by a very rainy, wet Sunday session where there was no wind, lots of rain, thunder, and we were stuck out in the middle of the reservoir with our dinghy Optimist filling full of water and having to get rescued by the little rescue boats and towed back to the little dock here. And that sort of gave me the itch, and it sort of has been a part of my life ever since, working on the water, being around boats. I don't think there's been a year or 6 months in my life where I haven't been out sailing somewhere in the world or been on the water somewhere, whether it's in a motorboat or a rib or sailboat or something along those lines has always sort of drawn me back to being near the sea. So living in the Midlands now, it's the most landlocked part of the UK where I live. But luckily, we've moved now towards Rutland Water, which has also got a big reservoir. So I'm hoping to get my kids into sailing in the next couple of years, which is very exciting.
Yeah, it will be. And so the sailing was possible here from when you were 10 right up until when you left school. So that was all during the period when sailing happened on the reservoir.
Yes, so I started when I was 10, and then every weekends we'd do courses up here in the reservoir. We'd do courses during the half term, Easter term, as we're on Easter now, it sort of rings a bell. Mm-hmm. Getting dropped off here on a Wednesday morning with cold, windy weather, and it's not so pleasant, and you're a bit chilly out there in the water, through to, you know, the summer holidays were spent, especially my early teens, sort of 3 or 4 weeks at a time out here in the reservoir for day after day in the sun, getting cooked, jumping in the water, getting told off by the instructors for jumping out your boat into the reservoir, and then getting told off for sailing off in the wrong direction or just trying to have some fun as a kid and just, you know, causing havoc. But no, it's always been a part of my life, sailing. And the reservoir here was sort of the sort of where I first fell in love with it. And it's been a really nice part to see it open back up again this the last couple of years.
Yes, it's lovely to have the place available, and you may be interested to know that they're just starting sailing lessons again.
Fantastic.
As of this month, I think the sailing courses are starting, so
brilliant.
A new generation may be discovering the delights that you did.
Yes, anyway, that sounds fantastic.
When you were young. Any particular memorable moments apart from that very first weekend that you described?
Oh gosh, just the joy of it being a kid and just being given the freedom to sort of make your own decisions when you're out on the water. Mm. You know, you've got adults telling you to do one thing, but if you don't want to do it and you want to sail off in a different direction, then it's up to you. And they can only control you so much. And just being given the freedom to do it and, you know, as a, you know, 11, 12 year old, there are not many things that you get to decide on in your life at that point. It's generally dictated by your parents. Sailing probably was one of those. My parents found something that I was really interested in, really enjoyed doing, and the sailing was a real good way for me to sort of let out some energy and just spend time on the water with my friends. You'd come here on the weekend or during the week, and there are a bunch of kids that you'd know that had done the courses with you previously, or people you'd met on a course, you know, in the winter or during this last summer. Mm-hmm. So there were always very relevant faces that would come back, you know, for different courses, different times of the year. So you'd always know somebody here. You made great friendships. Still friends with a couple of the people that used to sail with here as kids now. I went to high school with them, and they've all grown up as well now and flown the nest and left Cardiff. But no, they're just spending many, many summer holidays here, enjoying myself and just spending time on the water. And just, yeah, the instructors here were fantastic. Fran and Anne were the two ladies that were sort of ruling the roost. And I forget the name of the other instructors that we had, but there was a multitude of guys that came in and through that were, you know, a couple of years older than myself at the time, teaching us the basics through to tying knots, learning how to put the boats together, how to stow them correctly. I remember the smell of all the wetsuits being hung up at the end of the day. It wasn't the most pleasant smell, especially after you've been in them for about 3 or 4 hours in the summer. But no, it was an amazing experience as a kid growing up here.
And at what stage do you think you felt that a future career in sailing was the route you wanted to take?
It was one I never really thought about. I always enjoyed sailing as a hobby, and working through the years and the enjoyment I got from it. When we started sort of doing some racing down in Cardiff Bay, things were sort of maybe an option to maybe sort of try and get on the racing circuits. There are a couple of people that I did sail with here in the Lanishan Reservoir that were quite famous sailors now. So there's a girl called Hannah Mills, yes, who is, mm-hmm, you know, multi-gold medalist, who used to sail with me here in Lanishan Reservoir. James Munn, who was the guy that I started my sailing with, he went off and sailed for the Welsh team, the Welsh squad. I sadly was never quite good enough. There was a lot of competition with it, so we went off and we raced up in Pwllheli, up in North Wales, and Aberystwyth, and different places around the UK, down the south coast. And I just remember our dads piling all our dinghies into a big trailer and disappearing off on a Friday night after school, and then arriving there that night, and then the Saturday morning and Sunday we'd be sailing all day in different parts of the UK, and then coming back to drop all our dinghies back off here in Lanisha Reservoir on a Sunday night or on a Monday evening after school. And it was sort of like a real part of our lives growing up, which is nice.
So the career choice then, wasn't instant.
no, definitely wasn't instant, but being on and around boats has always been something I've loved, and I didn't really know where I wanted to go with my career as a teenager, as most teenagers don't. And when I was sort of like 17, 18, and I was still sailing a little bit here and there, my father was on the train to London one day and saw an advert for UKSA and thought it might be a worthwhile option to tell me about it.
UKSA?
The United Kingdom Sailing Academy. So they're a charity organisation that's based down on the Isle of Wight. And they're a really great place. They teach kids from all backgrounds, different parts of the UK. It's all charity based. They bring schools down from like inner central London that haven't maybe not even seen the sea before, and come down, bring them down. They put them on the water for 3 or 4 days, and these kids have a great time. But the main crux of it for myself was doing my yacht master, which was like the initial ticket that would give me a gateway into different jobs in the maritime industry. And your yacht master would give you the option to go and work for companies like Sunsail or go work on super yachts, which was what I did further down the line. But initially, after sort of figuring out I could do this ticket and do this qualification I'd never even heard of before, that I went off to UKSA for a couple of months during the winter period and did lots of mile building in the British winters in the English Channel, and spent days sailing back and forth across it and with a group of guys, and gaining all our experience to get a ticket. It's called a yacht master, and once you've done that, you can use that to, you know, open up an avenue of doors, which led me to work for Sunsail, which is a yacht charter company that's been based from Port Solent on the south coast there in Portsmouth, but they've got global yacht bases all over the world, and they have bases in the Mediterranean, all around France, Italy, Croatia, Caribbean, in the Pacific, if you really want to go that far afield. And they basically, I went and worked for them in Portsmouth for 2 years rather than going anywhere exotic, and spent 2 years with them in Portsmouth. I was doing a multitude of different things there with my Yacht Master ticket, where I was working as like a bosun, working on and fixing their boats, through to taking clients out sailing around the Isle of Wight, doing Cowes Week, around the Island Race. We used to do weekend charters for clients that would come out and rent a multitude of our boats, and they would take them racing around the Cannes, or the buoys in the Solent there. And they would come out on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, and they'd sail off for 3 or 4 days around there. And each boat would then have a skipper placed on the boats. So I would do one of those skippering jobs and go in there and basically keep everybody safe. We'd do little safety briefings to start the meeting off and sort of get introduced to everybody and go through the boat, show them how everything works. And 90% of the time you were with people who'd never sailed before. So they were as green as grass, and you'd say, you know, pull that jib sheet in, and they'd go, I don't know what you mean. And they'd look at you blank. And you'd go, okay, this is a real baptism of fire for myself. And I was only 19, 20 at the time, teaching people who were in their 30s, 40s, 50s how to sail. And it was good. It was a real learning curve, real good way to start learning how to teach and how to deliver instructions clear and concisely with people from different parts of the world, different ages, nationalities, and different backgrounds. It's a real baptism of fire as a young 19, 20 year old, which is great. It was great fun.
It's an amazing story of learning and development, where one stage is just built on another. I wonder if you can think of any moment or moments when you particularly have felt proud.
A little thing. The proudest moment I would probably say for myself was when I had done about 5 or 6 years in yachting, and I'd gained my first commercial, my first ticket, my OOW, because that's a huge like milestone. You spend 5 or 6 years gaining the sea time you need and days at sea on board an actual yacht. And then you collect all this information, you do a whole bunch of shore-based courses. I did most of my courses in Wasash Maritime Academy, which is down on the south coast. It used to be in the Hamble, which is a lovely place. Now it's based in central Southampton, so it's not so nice now. But the Hamble River was fantastic, going down there, doing all your courses. And then you do an oral examination with an examiner who is a master mariner, so the highest ticket you can get in the maritime industry. And he can ask you anything you want, or anything he wants, sorry. And it can be anything from how do you separate your garbage in the crew mess to what would you do in this navigational situation. You have a thing called the Collisions of Regulations at Sea, COLREGS, and it's basically rules of the road for boats. So it's like when you pass your driving test, you have to do your theory practice and then you do your actual examination in the car with an instructor. It's very similar to getting your maritime tickets. You have all your theory courses, you do your theory booklets for your gathering all the information, and then you take it to practice, where you get sat in a room like the room we're in now with a master mariner who's some salty old sea dog that's been at sea for 50 plus years and will ask you, you know, about stability of the vessel and how you calculate it, through to garbage, how you'd log the garbage, where do you log the garbage, you know, safety practices on board your boat. What would you do in this collision situation with another vessel at sea? How would you get yourself out of it safely? What would you do with a fire on board your boat? And you're the OOW in the bridge at 3 o'clock in the morning. So they try and put you in situations that are likely to happen or unlikely to happen, hopefully, with a fire on board. So yeah, I'd say getting my OW, that would be my
sounds like that's cause for some pride.
Yes, yeah, it's a real baptism of fire.
My milestone.
Yes, yeah, big milestone.
So it's a very long time since you've come back, and it's changed somewhat since you were last here. I just wonder, how does seeing the transformation here from the days when you were sailing on the reservoir, how does that make you feel?
Well, it's amazing to see, as we look out the window here, the beautiful building that's been made here on the site. And look, I was thinking back, chatting with my mum before I came up here to have an interview with you. And I just remember it being very overgrown with lots of grass, bushes everywhere. The sailing club was like a little sort of, I don't know how to put it, a couple of containers sort of stuck on the side of the road, and now there's this massive building. It's a real real different feel here now. It feels a lot more professional, a lot more clean cut, and it's nice to see that there's been a real sort of impetus in bringing the environment back here. And you know, it's quite worrying as a young Cardiff man losing the Nishan Reservoir and his Vane Reservoir to, you know, housing and housing developments, which is obviously needed for the UK, but at the same time, when you can save something like this, it's going to bring so much to, you know, the local community, where it's, you know, a nice place to come and bring your dog for a walk or come for a swim in the summer, to now, you know, going out dinghy sailing, as you're saying, they're going to start bringing again, which is going to be fantastic. You know, and hopefully lots of kids from the local community, maybe even the local high schools, can come up in the during the term times and start teaching kids how to sail, which would be amazing.
Yeah, it'll be great to see the boats back on the lake and people starting off on their maritime careers in the way that you did.
Fingers crossed.
Michael, thank you ever so much for talking to us. It's very good to have the opportunity to hear all your story.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.